Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are strapping in for what might be your most important financial deep dive yet. We're planning the execution of your very first perpetual trading position. And look, forget all the hype about quick games. This entire deep dive is dedicated to one thing: setting up the safety rails for entering the leverage market for the very first time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've synthesized source materials that detail a process that, you know, it should ideally take a beginner maybe 45 to 60 minutes of just rigorous pre-trade planning. That's before you even think about hitting execute.
That's a marathon.
It is. So our mission here is to filter all of that, the math, the checklists, the risk mapping into, let's call it the 5 non-negotiable steps you need to take. We want this first trade to be a zero emotion, maximum learning exercise, not a blind high stakes gamble.
And here is the core premise we really want you to internalize right now. Success on this first trade is defined by process, not by profit. Mm. The entire goal is just establishing a safe, isolated, low leverage position, we're talking 3x to 5x max, that proves you can execute a conservative plan.
Flawlessly. Okay, so when we talk about perpetuals, the first non-negotiable step is choosing your venue. The core concept here is start simple, start safe.
And the sources gave a really clear tiered framework for this. They put tier one protocols right at the top. Things like GMX V2 on Arbitrum or Gains Network. But for someone just starting, what the heck is an Oracle pool? And why is that safer than, you know, a traditional exchange?
That's a fantastic addition, because this is where the complexity gets stripped away. In a typical central limit order book, a CLO, which is what you see on most platforms, you can get slippage.
Right. You ask for one price, you get another.
Exactly. The order book moved. An Oracle pool is totally different. It means the price feed is guaranteed by a trusted, decentralized data provider. It eliminates slippage. And for a beginner, that simplified, guaranteed swap-like interface means one less thing to worry about.
That makes a ton of sense. Less complexity means fewer ways to make a mistake when you're already stressed about navigating leverage for the first time. So we can save the CLO baits like Hyperliquid or Drift the Tier 2s for later.
And definitely the advanced ones like D-Wave, DXV4. And just as important as choosing the right place is knowing what to avoid. The red flags are really clear. Steer absolutely clear of protocols advertising, you know, 50x or more leverage, or any protocol with murky liquidation mechanics or just poor documentation. Simplicity and clarity are everything for this first trade.
Okay, now we're moving immediately to the mandatory risk parameters. And I have to push back here a little. If someone is only putting, say, $100 on the line, why is it a non-negotiable rule to risk only 1% to 5% of your total capital? Why not just jump in with $50?
Because the habit is everything. The rule isn't for the first $100. The rule is for the $10,000 you plan to trade with later on. You have to train yourself that every single trade, regardless of size, risks only 1% to 5% of your available capital. So if you have $10,000, your max risk is $500. And for a first trade, that should be closer to $100 or $200. It's just risk budgeting $101.
And tied directly to that budget is the margin mode. The sources really hammer this home. Use isolated margin. Always.
Always. Imagine your account balance is like a bank vault. Isolated margin only puts the specific money you allocate for that trade, your $200, into the danger zone. Cross margin, on the other hand, it links your entire account balance to that single position.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if things go catastrophically wrong, your whole portfolio could be wiped out. Cross margin is a huge mistake for beginners.
And finally, what's the magic number for leverage on this first try?
3 to 5x maximum. Anything higher is just asking for trouble. Think about it. If you're at 20x, a sudden 5% market move against you and poof, you're liquidated. We need a massive safety buffer, at least 20 to 30% between your entry and the liquidation price.
So we've chosen the protocol. We've set the risk parameters. Let's talk about the pre-trade checklist. Yeah. What are the, say, 3 non-negotiable checks before we hit execute?
Okay, first, open interest. You want to verify that it's healthy and growing. It just confirms you have liquidity and an active market. Second, check your network configuration. If you're using GMX V2, are you actually connected to Arbitrum 1? It's a really common error to deposit on the wrong L2.
And the third one, which seems to be the most crucial safety check, is the funding rate. You said it must be checked and acceptable. The sources give an absolute maximum of less than 0.05% per hour.
Correct. And finally, your ultimate line of defense, your stop loss must be set. It's the rule that saves you from your own emotions and from catastrophic loss.
Okay, so we've moved from concepts to concrete numbers. Let's actually unpack this with some real math. Let's assume you have $10,000 in capital and we've decided to risk 2%, which is $200. We're going long on ETHUST.
So $200 is your margin. Now for leverage, if you select that conservative maximum of 5x leverage, that means you put up your 200 and the protocol effectively borrows against that to create a total position size of $1,000. That's the actual notional value of your trade. Leverage isn't free money, it's borrowing power that amplifies everything, gains and losses.
But the key here is that thanks to isolated margin, only your initial $200 is truly on the line. Okay, now let's talk about the cost of that borrowing. I see this 0.01% hourly rate. That sounds like pocket change. Why is the source material flagging this as a massive danger?
Because most new traders only think hourly, but perpetuals, they run 247, 365 days a year. If you annualize that tiny, seemingly negligible 0.01% per hour, you are paying an effective rate of 87.6% APR.
Wait, hold on. Stop. Did you just say 87.6% APR?
I did.
That's not a trading cost. That sounds like predatory lending. You could be making a fundamentally correct trade, but if you hold it for 2 weeks and pay that kind of interest, your profit just vanishes or your loss accelerates. That number.
Yeah.
That has to sink in for a second.
Precisely. And this is what forces the break-even analysis. You have to factor in your trading fee, say 0.05%, to open and close PLUS, that mounting weekly funding cost. You have to calculate exactly how much the asset price needs to move just to cover those costs before you see a single dollar of actual profit.
This level of detail, this forces you into critical scenario planning. So you have to plan for success, a plus 5% move and failure, minus 5 or minus 10% before you open the position. And crucially, the plan requires you to decide at what price you'd even consider adding margin.
And you only add margin to lower that liquidation price if and only if your original trade thesis is still fundamentally intact. If the reason you entered the trade, maybe it was strong support at $2,400, has been invalidated, you hit the stop loss. You exit. You don't throw good money after bad just to avoid admitting you were wrong.
So the major pitfalls become really clear. Using something like 20x leverage, which just guarantees liquidation, ignoring that staggering annualized funding cost. And the biggest cardinal sin of them all, moving or just neglecting your stop loss.
Right. And all that planning means absolutely nothing if you can't execute. So let's talk about turning these carefully calibrated numbers into clicks. This is phase three, execution.
First, the logistics. Wallet and deposit. We're dealing with layer two protocols, so you're going to need an EVM-compatible wallet like MetaMask or Ravi. And you're depositing collateral, preferably a stablecoin like USDC, onto the correct network. And remember to always keep a tiny bit of the native gas token, like ETH, ready for fees.
For order configuration, especially on those tier one Oracle pools, a market order is usually the simplest and, frankly, the recommended route. You're trading at the real-time Oracle price with zero slippage guaranteed. For your first trade, just keep it simple.
And immediately after that, we get to the risk control configuration. So if our entry price is $2,500 and we identified strong support at $2,400, your stop loss must be set just below that, say, $2,390. This forces discipline. It forces you to adhere to the plan.
And setting the trade is actually the easy part. The real work is phase four, monitoring. You can never set and forget a leveraged position, not even one at 5x. That temptation is just the siren song of liquidation.
So what does that discipline look like? What should you be doing immediately after you execute?
Immediate verification. In that first hour, you confirm three things. One, did the position open correctly? Two, is the liquidation price from the protocol exactly what you calculated in your checklist? And three, has the funding rate changed dramatically in the 5 minutes since you last checked?
And then comes the required maintenance.
Daily checks are necessary. You monitor your P&L and, most importantly, the distance to your liquidation point. But proactive traders rely on alerts. You need to set mandatory alerts for if the price moves within, say, 5% of your liquidation point, or if that funding rate suddenly spikes above your red flag threshold of 0.05% per hour.
Okay, let's pivot to the scenario response plan because the market never stays still. Scenario, the price moves in your favor and you're up 4% at $2,600. What are the pre-planned responses?
Well, you have options to de-risk. You can lock in some profit by closing 50% of the position. Or, and this is crucial, you move your stop loss up to break even. That immediately eliminates all downside risk on what's left. You're now playing with house money.
And what if the funding rate spikes violently? What happens if it hits that 0.05% red flag?
The plan has to be swift. That rate is economically unsustainable for any long-term hold. If the spike persists, the correct, disciplined response is to close immediately. Take the minimal loss or profit and reopen the position later under better conditions. You do not sit there and let an 87% APR eat your margin.
So we've navigated the trade, and now it's time to close it. An effective exit strategy isn't just one number, is it? It's more of a tiered approach to capture profits intelligently.
That's exactly right. Your plan needs multiple defined profit exits. Target one is often a partial close, maybe half the position, just to secure capital and take off the psychological stress. Target two is your full close. Then you have the mandatory stop loss exit. That's the hard line you don't cross. You should also understand the trailing stop loss technique, but honestly, that's probably for your second or third trade.
And what about condition-based exits?
Oh, those are vital for discipline. You should have a plan to close the position if there's a fundamental change in the asset's outlook, or if the funding rate suddenly becomes toxic again. Sticking to the plan means being disciplined about closing based on negative conditions, not just, you know, waiting for some unrealistic peak.
Okay, so once the position is history, we enter phase five, post-trade reflection. This is the mechanism for learning. And frankly, this sounds like the most valuable part of the entire exercise.
It is. It requires a mandatory trade journal entry. You have to log the entry, exit, duration, final P&L, and the ROI on the margin you committed. But that's just data. The real insight comes from the mandatory self-assessment.
Tell us about that self-assessment. This is where we measure the process, not the profit.
Right. You rate your execution process on a 1 to 5 scale across key areas. Did your position size and leverage meet the conservative plan? Was the stop loss set and respected? Was your monitoring consistent? If you find yourself thinking, oh, I can just move that stop loss, when the price gets close, hoping for a bounce, you need to step away. Moving the stop loss is an emotional decision that instantly invalidates the entire pre-trade plan.
And any score less than a 4 in any of those areas means you stop trading and you review that specific failure before you even attempt another position.
Exactly. The focus is entirely on the process.
That clarity brings us full circle. Let's summarize the absolute key takeaways for anyone preparing for this first position. Isolation is essential use. Isolated margin. Leverage must be conservative 3 to 5x maximum. Implement that rigorous pre-trade checklist focusing on the annualized funding cost. And commit to the mandatory monitoring and resection process.
And since your first trade is fundamentally meant for learning and completing that detailed planning exercise, this raises a really important question for you to consider. How should you truly measure success? Your success is not defined by achieving some nominal profit. It's defined by rigorously following every single step in that pre-trade checklist, respecting the stop loss, even if it means taking a loss, and completing the post-trade reflection perfectly. Process over profit, always.
A perfect philosophy for approaching your entry into perpetual trading. Your homework is simple. Review the detailed planning material we discussed today, practice on a test net if you can, and then start with the smallest position you can possibly manage. Stick to the checklist.